Our guest tonight is Tommy Avalone, the director of a new documentary chronicling a year in the lives of men who portray Santa Claus. The movie can be purchased on Amazon, iTunes, and starting November 25th can be streamed on Netflix. To see more, go to IamSantaClausMovie.com or follow them on Twitter at IamSantaMovie. Thank you for doing this, man.
Oh, yeah, no problem. Sorry I was a little delayed here.
Oh, no big deal. I saw your movie two nights ago. I rented it from a video store. Weird enough, they were surprised to see me. They said I haven't been there since 2006.
Family Value?
Family Video, yeah.
Yeah.
It was next to like 300 copies of How to Train Your Dragon 2. It was pretty exciting.
Awesome. I'm glad we're in good company.
So... I looked down your IMDb, and it doesn't look like you... Is this, like, your first crack at a documentary? It looks like you've done other stuff, but you've never actually made any kind of documentaries or anything?
Yeah, you know, I directed a movie called Community College in 2009, and that was my last, really, directing gig. I produced a couple movies since then, Miss December, that, you know, Kevin Smith put out, and Mancation, Lionsgate released. But I had never done a documentary, and once I kind of had the idea to do it, I reached out to some great documentary filmmakers, and they're very, very helpful and very, very supportive on giving me some sort of, like, my own little Q&A, you know?
So you reached out to them, and they said, yeah, go ahead and do it. Sounds fun.
Yeah, well, I mean, our movie Miss December was playing a film festival in Philadelphia that Morgan Spurlock's movie was playing, the greatest movie ever sold. And we had a mutual friend, Toothpick, who does music for us and music for Morgan. And we started talking, and I was like, you know, I keep watching these documentaries, and your name is on all the ones I'm watching. And, like, I'm not even watching them because I looked up you. Like, they're just good documentaries. How's that happen? You know, he's like, well, if there's a way I can help people that have made a good movie, you know, I try to do everything I can. And I told him that I was thinking about making this Santa Claus movie. Like, what does Santa Claus do when he's not being Santa? And he's like, you should totally do that. And I did. So I was like, once, like, Morgan Spurlock tells you, like, you should do it, you just kind of do it.
You didn't necessarily have Morgan Spurlock on board, but you did tell him the idea, and
not in the beginning.
It was a
no,
good idea.
He had told me it was a good idea and I should make it, and I kept in touch with him for the 3 years it pretty much took to make the movie.
3 years?
Well, yeah, I mean, there's a little bit of pre-production, and there's the year and a half that we actually follow them. Like, we follow these guys from January 2012 to January 2013.
Wow.
And then with, like, a couple extra months afterwards, we did some sort of, we flew them into New Jersey and did our last interviews with them, you know, once we kind of knew what the movie was, and we got to, like, ask them, a couple last questions.
So you had, like, hours and hours and hours of footage, and then you decided what you were going to do with it?
Well, I mean, no. Like, we knew what we were going to do with it, but we, you know, we start putting the movie together and shaping it. Because, like, they say, you know, if you make the movie you plan on making at the end of a documentary, you haven't listened to your talent.
Yeah.
You know, because, or else you'd just be writing a scripted movie. So, like, we knew, like, what we kind of wanted to do, but, you know, there was some twists and turns down the road, and you're not going to be making scenes out of everything, you know? So you bring these guys in for, like, a movie poster and, a rap party, but more or less, like, a sit-down, your last final sit-down to kind of fill in some gaps and talk about some things that maybe either you missed or would help glue certain situations together.
And how do you find these guys? How did you find... The gay Santa and the depressed, angry Santa. I mean, how do you go on? Because, I mean, you had the real estate Santa, but he didn't get a whole lot of clock because I guess he seemed pretty normal.
Yeah, you need that rock to show that they're all not crazy, you
yeah,
know?
So he's the control group?
Yes. But honestly, it's Facebook, man. Like, once I found out there was Santa Claus on Facebook, we just went around looking at people's pictures and checking out people's profiles, and what we would do would almost like these mini podcasts where we would interview the Santas, kind of asking them what their story was, had a couple questions, and figured out if they were interesting, if they were good to talk to, and we picked our Santas that way, except for our gay Santa. We found him on a bearfuzz.com, which is, I believe, like a a bear message board. I believe it was Bear Fuzz. I'll have to check on that, but Bear Fuzz.
I loved all that stuff because that guy just seems like the nicest guy.
Yeah.
And I guess he's the one that's kind of getting getting controversy online.
Yeah, a little bit of things. You know, the controversy is for people who haven't seen the movie. And,
Yeah, because if you see the movie,
they haven't. Yeah. I mean, you watch a 2-minute trailer and they see a Santa Claus drinking and a Santa Claus kissing another man, and most of these guys are up in arms, you know?
Right.
And you know,
Sex Club Santa.
Yeah. Yeah. We got called like the Armageddon to the Santa world.
Oh,
we've gotten this is where I'm gonna be on the very naughty list and it'll take forever for me to get off. It's like these guys they're nice guys, but they just are particularly people who are stuck in their ways and don't quite understand other existences, you know, like
right.
They feel the best Santa portrayal is themselves, and this is how they are Santa. But you know, we picked our Santas because they're interesting people that happen to be Santa, and this is a story we kind of wanted to tell. It was like a different look into Santa. If they wanted to see normal kind of guys, then there's other movies out there for you, you know. But ours was different. And even some of the guys who didn't like the trailer saw the movie and saw that the heart was there, you know, like
right.
You have to show some bad to show some good. Bambi's mother dies in a Disney movie, you know, like you have to show a couple people falling down to really respect the respect they show for when they are Santa.
Yeah. I mean, you know, when they sit down in the chair, they're not that guy. They're Santa. And kids know them as Santa. They don't know them as who they really are. So it doesn't really so much matter.
Right, and you think about it this way. Like, you go and get your picture with Santa Claus or your kids, and, like, these pictures are all around your house. They're all in your photo album. And it's a guy. It's a stranger. And he has his own story. And I think our movie was the first one to really tell the story of the other guy in that photo. And we're very happy the way it turned out.
Yeah, it turned out great. And I mean, you know, I'd hate. Are you? I guess you're probably not considering revisiting it and doing like any kind of sequels or anything. But I'm sure there's. I would watch 5 sequels just going to that Forbes place and seeing the 300 or 400 Santas running around talking to each other.
No, you wouldn't.
I would. I have so many questions just about that event.
Okay, great. Let me hear.
I want to know about, I assume that's like at a hall at like a hotel or something. I want to see the other people's reaction that didn't know the Forbes thing was happening that weekend.
Yeah.
I want to know how difficult it is to keep track of your Santa when there's a whole, I mean, like, you know, when you take your kids to Six Flags, you put them in a neon shirt so you can find them easy. But I mean, when everybody's dressed exactly the same, how do you find your Santa? Like if
right.
they go to the bathroom or something, you can't find them.
Yes. So I would love to revisit our characters as Santas. I mean, whether it's a sequel or like a TV show or something like that, I think there are ways for us to check in with our Santas. But as far as the Forbes event, like these gatherings have started 20 years ago. It all started with a group called the Amalgamated Order of Real Bearded Santas. And it grew and it grew and it grew so much so the organization was split and became two feuding factions, the Amalgamated Order versus the Fraternal Order of Real Bearded Santas.
And what's the difference?
Nothing.
There's no difference.
Happens to be the president is Santa Nicholas Trolley, who lives in Florida, and the other one are mostly California Santas. They just didn't agree on leaderships and stuff like that. Like sometimes,
what do they need a leader for?
Well, doesn't every organization need a leader, right?
Not necessarily. I mean, they get together and have lunch and talk about Santa shit.
Exactly, man. For better or worse, it's a unique group of older men who love being Santa Claus, but also love fighting with each other.
Wow.
Yeah, and this is a whole storyline. We followed the president of AORBS, the Amalgamated Order, Nicholas Trolley, and we have this whole story about the feuding factions. And even while we were filming, the Fraternal Order of Real Bearded Santas had another fight in between themselves because they were allowing designer beard Santas, like fake beard wearing Santas into the group. And they split up. So now there's the Fraternal Order and the International Brotherhood of Real Bearded Santas. So we had to cut this whole storyline.
Yeah.
And we put it together in a 25-minute short film that's on the DVD and Blu-ray called Santa vs. Santa.
I should have watched that.
Yeah.
I got to go rent it again.
Well, you have to buy the DVD or Blu-ray. Right. Because you rented the movie. I'm thinking you rented it on iTunes. I'm sorry.
So they were letting in guys who didn't even have the real beards?
Yeah.
But their name is the Real Bearded Santas.
Yes. Don't shoot the messenger, right? But yeah, I mean, like with these organizations, so they will meet like 3 weeks after the season, usually in California, and just have lunch with each other. And the organization is grew and grew and grew. There's so many of these guys that all meet together. And there's probably about 1,000 people in the organization themselves, but probably about 200 to 300 people will actually meet up in a hotel. They'll get rooms. They'll have seminars and classes. And then they finish off with lunch, and then they go home.
And you were made an honorary member of this group?
An honorary member of the International Brotherhood of Real Bearded Santas, yes.
I mean, do you get like a membership card? Is there any perks?
No. I got a little certificate, and that was about it. And you know, and the pride of knowing
that you're
a member of the International Brotherhood of Real Bearded Santas.
It said you got a bachelor degree in Santa Clausology.
Yeah, I had to watch about 16 hours of DVD for that one.
Oh, you have to like watch video, and then is there like a quiz at the end or something? Or
no, just you know, you buy the DVD and you print out a certificate and write your name on it.
So I found out about your movie like just because I follow Mick Foley on Twitter. I was a wrestling fan like in high school. I guess you're a big wrestling guy.
Oh yeah, we put a wrestler in every single one of our movies.
Is that how Mick Foley came to be involved? Just through your connections in having wrestlers in your past movies?
Yeah, you know, we're beginning to do the movie, and we're like, yeah, there's probably not going to be any wrestler in this one. That's going to be upsetting. And my buddy Frank, who directed Mancation, he's like, you know, Mick Foley loves Christmas. You should ask him if he wants to do it. So we reached out to Tommy Dreamer, and he hooked it up, and I mean, Mick's amazing. Like, in the beginning, he was like, yeah, sure, I'll do it. I'll do it. And then it's like, you know, he got a suit. He took a class. He bleached his beard. And, like, after he bleached and sat down at Santa Claus, he was texting me every day, calling me every day.
He became, you know, involved and then just, like, jumped in with both feet.
Yeah. I mean, not only he was a subject until he was done being shot, and then he became a producer because he was so hands-on and so excited about the movie. He wanted to make sure it was the best it possibly could and had the attention it possibly could. So we are beyond lucky to have him not only as a subject because he brings so much heart to the movie,
right,
but as a producer, he brings so much attention to the movie.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, even after I kind of stopped watching wrestling and stuff, I've still just been a fan of him because he just seems like the most genuine, nice dude. He just seems like such a cool guy.
He is, yeah.
So you can confirm that that's all true?
Yeah, no, Mick's amazing.
He the cameras don't stop rolling and he just like starts cussing people out and throwing shit.
No, he never curses. If you go see his one-act show, like, you know, when he goes to different towns and performs, he curses probably once on stage. He's an amazing, amazing guy and super, super sweet.
So where should I direct people to learn? I guess you have the website, IamSantaMovie.com.
It's IamSantaClausMovie.com. And that's Santa Claus without an E. For some reason, Tim Allen made a movie and everyone thinks it's spelled with an E. But yeah, I am Santa Claus.
It was a play on words.
No, I get it.
Santa Claus.
I'm pro pun. I get it. But it's IamSantaClausMovie.com. And we have links to DVD, Blu-ray, iTunes, our VHX, which is like a new digital way of downloading the movie with special features. And I'm not sure when your podcast comes out, but we'll be on Netflix November 25th.
That's awesome. Do you have something in the pipeline? You got your next project picked out yet, or...?
Well, there's a couple things I want to do, but I really wanted to make sure I stayed with this release, because so many times with our releases in the past, it's like you get so excited about making the next movie, you don't stay and give the right amount of attention to its release.
Right.
And, like, attention to the release is just as important as pre- or post-production. So,
sure.
Before I get excited and really hit the ground with anything, I'm going to see this one out, and the new year we'll start something new.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for doing this, Tommy.
I appreciate it, man. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Radio FUBAR. Radio FUBAR beyond all recognition.